Praise God. This morning, I just want to continue along the lines that we've been talking about for the past 2 weeks. And hopefully, and I use the word hopefully, this will be the concluding part in this series. For the past 2 weeks, I've been talking about the laws of strategic living. And I declare that this month is a month of strategic living. Why is it a month of strategic living? I explained that as Christians, we need to be strategic in how we live our life. In fact, not just as Christians, as human beings, we need to be strategic about how we live our life. You find out that if you don't have a strategy, if you don't have a plan, if you don't have certain things in place in your life, then you'll end up going nowhere. Or you go wherever the wind takes you. And you may end up where you don't want to end up. And I explained that I've discovered that a lot of people are not strategic about how they live their life. A lot of people just wake up in the morning from day to day, not having a plan, not having a routine, not having things they need to do. So whatever is thrown at them, whatever friend or whatever is shouting the loudest is what they go with. And I went on to explain that God has called us to be effective and successful in our Christian walk with him. I went on to say that, you know, there are lawyers and there are successful lawyers. So a successful lawyer would have a caseload, will be have loads of caseload and will be making money, making profit. An ordinary lawyer that is not necessarily successful will stand by the court door waiting to charge and bill somebody. And you know, the interesting thing I found out about laws, whether you've just become a Christian, whether you've been a Christian for so long, or you are just about to, you're thinking of it, when you practice these laws, they will work for you. The Bible makes us to understand that God is no respecter of persons. And if God is no respecter of persons, the things or principles, it's like the laws of the land. Whether you're rich or poor, if you break the law, what happens? If you don't pay your council tax, what do? They throw the person in jail. That is the law. So whether the person is short or tall, whether they are young or old, well, I suppose it's up to a certain age that you start paying it. So. But if you break a law, it works the same way for everyone. You have natural laws, the law of gravity. If you jump from a building and jump down, you either break your bones or you break your brains. Or both. Amen? It works. So the same way, the laws, or if I want to call it principles, whichever way you want to call it, that I've been sharing over the past 2 weeks. Don't feel, for those that may have been listening, you know, and you're thinking, whoa, this seems I can't do this or whatever. Or you've just become a Christian. Just start from one step. And as you practice it, they will work for you. The same way they work for me, they will work for you. Amen. So over the past 2 weeks, we've been talking about the laws of strategic living. I'll just quickly mention, for the sake of those that haven't been around for the past 2 weeks, or this is your first time in this church, we started by talking about what I call the law of first things first, which is the law of priority. And basically what that means is that before you move, there are certain things that you need to do in the spiritual. So I said that you need to pray. The law of first things first states that pray before you move, or pray before you act. And I use the example that in the morning when you wake up, there are certain things that you do as a matter of course. You don't think about it. You don't plan it. You just wake up, go to your bathroom, brush your teeth. That's basic for most people. Hardly would anybody go out of their house without brushing their teeth and then brush it in the night. It is the same way. Praying before you act should be a natural tendency for each and every one of us. Whereby before we make decisions or before we do certain things, we pray. Amen. And then I went on to talk about the law of solid foundation. That's the second law. And I mentioned that Your knowledge of the Bible will determine the strength of your Christian foundation or Christian life. If your foundation is not solid, if you don't know the Bible, then you cannot grow like God wants us to grow. If the foundation of a building is not right or is not laid properly, that building will be crooked. That's why sometimes you see a lot of crooked Christians. Why? Because the foundation is not solid. Amen? And I explained that we need to have a strategic and systematic way of studying, reading and studying the Bible. Because if you don't, what you'll have is you'll have a tendency to read just one book or two books or focus on one area, blessing alone or prosperity alone, depending on what area or what issues you're facing. And if that is the case, what you'll have is you'll be growing, but you might be growing in a stunted way, manner. Amen. And then thirdly, we spoke about the law of self-denial, which states that you give up in order to gain up. This means that you must be ready to deny yourself of certain pleasures in order to gain certain blessings. And then I spoke about the law of sacrifice, which basically states that you scatter to gather. What does that mean? It basically means that when you are a giver, either giving your time, giving your money, giving encouragement to others, giving love to others, what will happen is that you gather the same thing that you scatter. Are you listening to me this morning? And you know, the Bible says that it is more blessed in the book of Acts chapter 20, verse 35. It says that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Amen. So when you give, you become a blessing to your generation, and you're certain that you will be blessed in return. And then I went on to talk about the law of success. The law of success states that you read to succeed. One of the things that has become a major stumbling block for a lot of people, if I use that word, is ignorance. Ignorance is an enemy that should be hated and fought with all you have. Your development will be stunted in your areas of ignorance. Any area of area that you are ignorant about, you can never master. I'm not a medical doctor. I'm ignorant about that area, so I cannot function in that area. I cannot function in the area of law or pharmacy because I'm ignorant concerning those areas. If I try to go and function as a pharmacist without acquiring the knowledge or reading, then I will never succeed as a pharmacist. The same way, you need to read in order to succeed. Amen. I explained that lack of knowledge holds people in bondage. The Bible says that my people perish. Why? For lack of knowledge. And it says that because you have rejected me, I have rejected you as priests. Are you listening to me this morning? And then law number 60, I mentioned the law of application. Or law of growth, number 6. I mentioned law of growth. And I said that you grow through learning. Growing through learning basically means that you are a student of life and you are a student for life. You must be ready to learn from every situation, every experience, everything around you. You learn from the things happening around you. You learn from your children. You learn from animals. And as you learn, as you make learning a lifelong project, you'll find out that you are growing through learning. Amen. I explained that learning occurs throughout our lifetime. We never stop learning. Hallelujah. And then the law of application basically states that you practice to become. Basically, what that means is what you become is based on what you practice. It's not what you know that is important. It's not what you hear that is important. It is those things that you put in practice that will benefit you. So the fact that so many people are listening to this message, this morning. The fact that many people have been listening to messages preached for years, if you don't practice them, it will never be of benefit to you. That's the law of application. What you don't apply, you can never possess. Are you listening to me this morning? And then lastly, we stopped on the law of reflection, which basically I said that you reflect to change your life. What does that mean? I explained that your life is a mirror of your thoughts. Your prevalent thoughts have and will continue to shape your life. Your thoughts are taking you somewhere. It may not be where you want to go, but you can be certain that it's taking you somewhere. And I explained that one of the most powerful things we have is our thoughts. They are creative. They are a force to be reckoned. If you haven't been at any of the services, I'll encourage you to get the last two messages that I preached for the last 2 weeks. But just moving on, I just want to continue quickly. And this morning I'll be talking about law number 9, which I've called the law of increase. The law of increase. Basically, this law states that your faithfulness, or let me put it this way, your increase comes through good stewardship. Increase in life will come through good stewardship. Your faithfulness with the things that you have, that God has given you, will determine your increase in that area. If God has given you certain things, if God has given you money, if God has given you certain gifts, but you are not faithful in that area, then you cannot increase in that area. Because what happens is, he will not increase what you waste. The Bible talks in the book of Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 42. If you don't have your Bible, just it should be on the screen. Luke chapter 12, reading from verse 42. It says, and the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? It says, blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Doing what? Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. Doing what? Doing what he ought to be doing. Being faithful, being a good steward. You know, prior to that, it talks about the faithful servant. Time will not permit me, but the preceding verses talks about the faithful servant. And it says that the servant that will be made ruler is the person that his master finds doing what he ought to be doing. What the person needs to be doing is being faithful and taking care of what God has given him. In the book of Luke chapter 19, from verses 11 to 26, the Bible talks about, Jesus spoke about a certain parable, which is the parable of the miners. And in that parable, the Bible makes us to understand that a certain man was going to a far country. And he called 10 of his servants and gave each one a minas. Gave each one, allocated one thing to each person. And said what? Do business till I come. Do business basically means that what I've given you, by the time I come back, I expect some profit from it. So, do business till I come. And what you find is that when the master came back, he asked that give an account of the things I've given you. And then one of them came back and said, what you've given me, I've multiplied it and it's now 10. He has been faithful with what was given to him. Another one came and said, Master, what you gave me, here it is now 5. But there was one servant that came and said, what you have given me, here is what you gave me. Take back what you gave me. I put it to you that servant was not a good steward. Are you listening to me this morning? And the interesting thing is that the Bible says that the master, in verse 16, it says, then came the first saying, Master, your miner has earned 10 miners. And he said to him, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities. Because he was faithful with the little thing that was given to him, what happened? He got an increase. And likewise, the one that received 5 or brought back 5, he got an increase. But look at what happened to the one that did not give back anything. It says there in verse 20. It says, then another came, saying, Master, here is your miner, which I have kept put away in a handkerchief. For I feared you because you are an austere man. You collect what you did not deposit and reap what you did not sow. Verse 22, and he said to him, out of your own mouth I will judge you, you wicked servant. You know that I was an austere man, collecting what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Verse 24. And he said to those who stood by, take the miner from him and give it to him who has 10. Notice that. Take from the one that was not faithful and give it to the person that was faithful. A similar situation happened in the book of Matthew chapter 25 that talks about the parable of the talents from verses 14 to 30. It says that a certain man gave to each person according to their ability. So what you have the ability to manage it, but not just manage it, but to increase it. But what will determine your increase is not your cries. They are not your prayers. A lot of people pray for increase. But what they have, they are not managing, they are not being good stewards of it at the moment. And there's no way God will give you an increase. There's no way God will give you a better job if the job you have now, you don't know how to be a good steward on that job. If you are not faithful on that job, if you get to your job late every day, then why should God increase or give you a position of responsibility? I don't know if I'm talking to anybody this morning. Your faithfulness is what will determine your increase. How faithful are you with what God has given you? And get this. I'm talking about in every area of your life. Whether it's the gifts that God has given you. Whether it's the money that God has given you. Whether it's in terms of material things that God has given you. How faithful are you with it? A lot of us need to quit complaining and start being faithful. Turn to your neighbor, help me tell them that your faithfulness with the things you have will bring increase into your life. How faithful? He that is faithful in least will receive more. That's my version. That's not how the Bible says. Law number 10. So the one I just shared is law of increase. Law number 10 is what I call the law of association. The law of association. And the law of association states that your relationships can make or break you. Or let me put it another way, your associates in life can make or break you. You see, your associations in life will eventually determine the direction of your life. Let me repeat that. The people you associate with, the people that you have a relationship with, they will eventually determine the direction your life takes, whether you realize it or not. Your friends, your relationships that you keep will directly or indirectly influence your thoughts. They will indirectly or directly influence your actions. And eventually, they will influence where you end up in life. There's a saying that birds of the same feather flock together. Sometimes a bird may not have the same feather as the other birds flocking, but because that bird is flocking with those birds, it will develop the same kind of feathers. I don't know if you understand what I mean. Let me show you. In Proverbs 12, 26. Proverbs 12, 26. It says something there. It says the righteous should choose his friends carefully. Notice that. For the way of the wicked leads them astray. Which means that if the righteous person chooses a wicked person as his friend, he will be led astray. If the Bible says that you should choose your friends carefully, that means that don't make just anybody your friend. You can have acquaintances. But the people that are your friends should be chosen carefully. Because your friends will determine where you are going. You know, I've heard of stories of people that hang out with a friend, doing, you know, and it's not that they have done anything wrong, but they get carried and arrested because they are hanging out with somebody. Are you listening to me? I normally I take permission before I use people's story, but let me just use this example. And of course, you won't know who it is, so, but the person will permit me. I take permission from here now. You know, some time ago, maybe last year or 2 years ago, there was somebody in our church that happened to be in a car with somebody, you know, with a friend. And one way or the other, maybe they got stopped by the police. Now, I don't remember maybe what issues the friend had. But this person ended up spending one or two nights in jail for not doing anything, for sitting in the car with the wrong person. He did not do anything. They went to that person's house, searched the house. Of course, thank God, they didn't find anything. But for the inconvenience, the person lives in Milton Keynes. They happen to be in the same car in London. So they help the person in London, and then, my goodness. Because at that point in time, choose your friends carefully. You see, a lot of people don't realize the importance of friends or associates. But one of the things I found out in life is that your friends can either pull you up or pull you down. First of somebody that is focused and going somewhere, and you start hanging around with the wrong people, they'll pull you down. But if you start hanging with the people that are going somewhere as well, they will pull you up. Together, you go together. You know, there's an interesting thing about geese. You know, when geese they fly together, you know they travel for long miles and things, and when they fly together, they fly in formations. And when they change formations, so some will go to the front and others will go to the back at a point in time, and then from time to time, when the one in front is getting tired, he goes to the front, and they are encouraging each other. And as they are going down the distance, you hear the people at the back, pop, 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 whatever sound they make, encouraging the one in front. And then it has been proven that one of the reasons why they can go far is because the wings, because as they flap their wings, the wind from the wings helps the person next to them. So because they are going together, they are encouraging each other. If one is getting tired, another one will be the one encouraging. And then they take over and another one starts leading and another one goes to the back. That is what you call the law of association. Whereby when you want, you are going somewhere, look for people that are going where you want to go. Same direction. People that will encourage you when you are getting tired. People that you can encourage when they are getting tired. People that where you are both hanging to each other and saying, we can make it. Law of association. I remember, when I was in university, I had a friend. And then when I was doing my professional exams, you know. We used to encourage each other. We'll be reading, the thing will be difficult. We'll encourage each other, help each other. But it was an encouragement. By the time you finish speaking to him, I'll be charged up that this thing I must pass. Amen. Let me show you one or two other scriptures. Which one did we look just now? Okay. If you look at Proverbs 13:20, it states something. It says, "He who walks with wise men will be wise, and the companion of fools will what? Be destroyed." So if you want to be wise, look for people that are wise. Do you know one of the fastest ways to grow as a Christian? Look for people that are established Christians and become their friends. Become their friends. If they don't want to be friends with you, be friends with them. Become a pest. If you want to grow, it's true. You become a pest. You start phoning them. You know, this thing is very important. If you move with the people on your same level at times, you both are not going anywhere. Let me explain. Let me use something else to explain. I tend to play badminton. And some years back, about 7-8 years, I used to play regularly. So I had a friend that we used to play. He was quite good. A bit better than me, you know. So, but I was improving. And then, one way or the other, we drifted apart. I think he moved away or something. So I found another partner, someone to be playing with. But he was not so good. And before I knew it, my game was becoming just. What's the difference? I was playing with somebody that was better. So I was improving, getting to a higher level. I don't know if it's ever happened to you. You play a certain game. Or sport, squash or golf or something. If you are playing with somebody that is not so good, you are not very competitive. So your game does not improve. But when you're playing with somebody that is better, you watch how they play. You look at their techniques. You look at how they hold their rackets. You look at the sort of shots they play. And you try it out. It is exactly the same way. The law of association says that your relationships in life can make or break you. Let me help you here. Let me help you here. When you get home today, do something. Write down your 5 closest associates or friends. You don't have 5. It's good. I'm not sure I have one anymore. My wife is my only. Yeah. But if you have 5, or write down can't get up to 5, the ones that, you know, your close friends or people you call friends, write it down. And think of which area of their life influences you. Is it the area of gossip? Sometimes the reason some people are friends is they just talk about nothing and everything. But the things that are important, they don't talk about. And they can spend 1 hour, 2 hours talking about nothing. And you get off the phone after 1 hour, what have you gained? I've got somebody's email there. Amen. Amen. You need to classify your friendships. When you get off the phone from someone, have you invested your time? Either by adding to their life, or they have invested their time by adding into your life. If none of those have happened, I mean, there are the occasional phone calls, 1-2 minutes. Hello, how are you doing? You know, something that's permissible. But I'm talking about by the time you spend 10 minutes on the phone with somebody, what are you talking about? It has got to be something that is blessing them or blessing you. If none of that is happening, say, sorry, I gotta go. It's true. You, You see, you need to begin to value your time. Time is one of the most precious assets we have. You know, but if you lose money, you can get money back. You lose material possessions, you can get it back. Time, you cannot get time back. Amen. Let me move on quickly. I need the law of time management to work in my life. Okay. So that's law number 10. Law number 11 is what I call the law of the great commandment. Now, I was thinking for a more whatever word, but I'm not sure that's good English, but I'll call it the law of the great commandment. And what is this law? We're talking about laws of strategic living. So I'm talking about the things that if you start putting these laws into practice in your life, you'll become an effective and successful Christian. The law of the great commandment states that love is the driving force in life. What do I mean by that? Everything you do as a Christian should be motivated by love. Love should be the underlying factor for why we are Christians. And the truth of the matter, if we are honest with each other, if we are real with each other, a lot of the things that we do are not because of love. You see, without love, all the things we do as Christians are just mere actions. Let's look at a scripture. Let's look at Matthew 22 from verse 30. Are you getting blessed this morning? Matthew 22. Let me read from verse 34. It says, but when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, so wanting to make an argument, asked him a question, testing him and saying, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, verse 37, Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. Verse 39 states that, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 40 then brings it together. It says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Let me help you here. Jesus was saying that, look, all the Ten Commandments, if you can fulfill those two, because you are doing those two, as in loving God with everything and loving the person next to you, that because you are doing those two, you can be certain that every other thing will be fulfilled. Because every other thing is encompassed within those two commandments. So, for example, the Bible states that you shall not commit adultery. That's one of the laws. Or you shall not steal. If you love God and you know that it will hurt God, before I even go down to God, if you are married, if you love your wife, that will stop you from the thought of adultery entering into your head. Why? Because you have love for that person. If you love God, there are certain things that you will not do in life. Not as a law, not because somebody says that you must not do it, but because of the love you have for God. There will be certain constraints in your life Why? Because you love God and you don't want to do anything that would displease him. Am I speaking to somebody this morning? You see, love is, it says that on those two commandments, which is loving God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and then loving your neighbor as yourself. If we can begin to love God with a passion, then we'll find out that there will be a change, a difference. In fact, even a lot of the laws I've spoken about, you find out that they will come naturally because of the love you have for God. If you love God with a passion, you spending time in his presence will not be an issue. Am I speaking to somebody? Let's look at one or two others. In Proverbs 10:12, it says that love covers all sins. So when you love somebody, no matter how much they offend you, because of love. Amen? You know, the Bible talks about the Good Samaritan in the book of Luke chapter 10 from verses 25 to 28. You know, it's interesting because in the parable of the Good Samaritan that Jesus spoke, you'll find out that different people passed. In verse 31, Luke 10, 31, it says, by chance, a certain priest came down that road. So the priests went. He was going to do his religious things. He was going to do what, you know, his function as a priest. But he did not notice a need beside him. It says, a Levite passed. He came. He looked. You know, the priest did not notice because it says that, oh, okay, it says that the priest, when he saw him, he passed by the other side. So he saw him. But the Levite, it says, he came and looked. And then passed by. But then the Samaritan, because of the love, what did he do? He took care of him. I don't know if you understand what I'm talking about this morning. Love. You know what? When love becomes a driving force in our life, you find out that a lot of the things that we were chasing, praying about, will come without a need for prayers, naturally. Let me help you. Let me help you. It will come naturally. When you love your children, do you know that everything they need, because of the love you have for them, comes naturally. And I say when you love your children, because sometimes you have fathers that neglect their children. Or don't love them, they just have children and leave them. But for those that love their children, everything they need, they try to give them the best education possible that they can afford based on the constraints of their pockets. They provide the best, everything, holidays, whatever they can afford. Why? Because of love. Training, they train them in the best way. And the same thing with God, our Father. When we begin to love him, a lot of the things we need, if everything we need, you don't have to ask for it. In Romans 13, verse 10. Romans 13, verse 10. The Bible says, love does no harm to a neighbor. Notice what it then goes on to say. It says, therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. So that ties back to Matthew 22 that we looked at earlier. It says, love is the fulfillment of the law. Ephesians 3, 17 to 19 states that being rooted and grounded in love. Being rooted and grounded in the, you see, the law of the great commandment states that love, our love, the love for God, the love for others should radiate. I can't understand when you have sometimes two Christians or two people going to the same church or two people, sometimes I hear about brothers and sisters not talking to each other for years. I can't understand. Or children, or parents not talking to their children, or children not talking to their father. I personally, I can't understand. And sometimes these people are Christians. And then you sometimes hear about two people in the same church working for God, not talking to each other. Personally, I don't understand. Because even when I get upset at home at times, and you say I'm a human being, so don't look at me like that. Maybe my wife does something that upsets me, and I'm upset. Hey, do you know what? It's only for a fleeting second. Sometimes I'm so upset, I'm fire is coming out from my brains. Now, get this. Look, I'm being real. Sometimes, 30 minutes for 1 hour, I just sit down cool. When my head is cool, and I'll go back and listen to me. There's no way I can pray in that condition. In fact, there's no way I can even operate without talking to my wife in the same house. In fact, I can't even think of, not even when I'm upset, I'm still talking. I don't know if you understand what I mean. So I can't understand how we can operate as Christians and carry anger to such a level that we are not talking to each other. I don't understand. And then we say we have the love of God in us. How's that possible? Let me move on. Let me. I need to close. Notice what he said in that Romans 13:10. He says that love is the fulfillment. You know, Romans 13:8 says something. It says, owe no one anything. Except what? To love one another. For he who loves another has done what? Has fulfilled the law. And then he goes on to say all the law for the commandments, blah, 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 blah. And on and on. And then verse 10 says, love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Last law that I want to talk about today is the law of the Great Commission. I'm talking about being effective and successful as a Christian. The law of the Great Commission, Matthew 28, and we'll end with this today. Matthew 28, from verse 19. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The law of the great commandments, or commission, I beg your pardon, states that we evangelize to fulfill God's mandate. Notice what it says. It says that we should go forth and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father. And then it says, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, which basically means that the things we... let me try to explain. If I were to put it this way, the law of the Great Commission is basically what I have learned, I should look for others to teach. That's basically what that... Find somebody that does not know anything about the law of Christ. Tell them about the love of Christ, how God loves them, and then teach them the things that you know. You know, we have too many fat Christians in church. I don't mean physically fat, but spiritually fat. What do I mean by that? Try eating and just keep on eating for a month without going to the toilet. Number one, you become what? Ill. Constipated, you become ill. And then after some time, you start bloating up. That's what happens when all you do is hear the word, hear the message, read the Bible, you know, and listen to messages. But you are not telling others. So we have become fat. Amen? So a lot of us have become fat. But you know, if somebody is physically eating physically without giving anything out, you know, you notice, because after some time they look ill and various things. But with the spiritual, because you cannot see. But if God were to open our eyes, we'll see a lot of people that spiritually they've been receiving, but they are not telling others. And the law of the Great Commission basically states that. It says, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. So to be effective and successful as a Christian, you know, they always say that one of the, a leader, no matter how do I say it? Should I say prosperous or how well you may have done? If you don't have a successor, you are not a successful leader. A leader that builds an organization, a company, that does not have anybody that will take over or raise anybody is not a good leader. Because what that means is that the minute you leave, what you built is likely to crumble. And what Jesus is basically telling us is that I want you to begin to teach others that will pass it to the next generation and pass it on and pass it on and pass it on. That's the law of the Great Commission. God bless you. Hallelujah.